collection of the 66 books that we hold to as the Word of God, and I'm thankful for the Word of God. We're going to begin a new series entitled Questions Asked by God, and I think this is something that's important, something that's been on my mind for quite some time, and I think that we're going to find this study and this series of questions that we're going to be looking at help to us as we seek to live for the Lord Jesus Christ as believers in Christ in 2019. You say you always mention that as believers in Christ in this time. And the reason I do, folks, is this, is that we have to live for God in this generation. We do. I'm thankful for generations of the past that have paved the way, but we've got to live now. And the Christian life needs to be lived now. So Genesis chapter 3, I want to draw your attention beginning to verse 1. And this is probably not something new to you. If you've been saved for any length of time, I'm sure you've heard a message on this passage of Scripture. But there's a truth here that I want to bring forth for us that the Lord has for us this morning. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3, the Word of God says this, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, God did not say that other part. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. But I don't know about you, but when you're in a confrontational situation, sometimes things can get heated. And that thought was added to it. Now, notice what the Word of God says in verse number 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Why is that? Why would he say that? Here's his philosophy. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." God doesn't want you to eat it because you're going to be hindered. Your potential won't be realized. Okay? Very subtle questioning. Verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, let me say this. I think women are put down far too much in society today, in the Christian realm. This wasn't Eve's fault. And we need to understand that very clearly. God gave the command to Adam, and she's deceived. There's a lot of blame that gets passed around, and this woman is not to be blamed here. No, Adam knew what he was doing. The story continues on in verse 7. "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Let's pray. Father, once again, Lord, we come to you. And I ask for clarity, Lord, for this message. I pray for clarity of the voice. Clear the throat, I do pray, Lord. I pray it not be a hindrance to your people, Lord, as they seek to hear from you. Lord, I'm a flawed human instrument, but your word is pure. And I pray your word would shine forth and you'd help us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's important to note, as we look at this passage of Scripture, that the first question asked was not by God, it was asked by the devil. And notice what the devil says here in verse number 1. He says, "Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Satan is the one who asked the first question. And the question he asked was designed to discredit what God has said, to defame God's character, and to distort the truth at an important time in someone's life. I like this quote that I came across this week. "Friends ask questions, enemies question you." Okay? There's nothing wrong with questions, but I found in my years of living life that enemies are the ones that question you. And friends, this is the great enemy. Oh, does the text reveal him to be Satan? No, but as we look at the rest of the Word of God, Paul makes mention of him in Corinthians, and talks about how he beguiled Eve. He posed the question to doubt God and to doubt the sincerity of the Word of God. The first question asked by God was to mankind after the fall. You find him referring to him as man. You find the narrative of the scripture referring to him as Adam, but this is the first time that God addressed the man by his given name. He calls him Adam. Look at verse number 9, what the Word of God says here. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I like what someone else has said. Asking questions is the first way to begin change. And a change was needed here. Adam blew it, and he knew it, and God knew it. God asked the question, not wondering where Adam was at. He wanted Adam to see exactly where he was at in his life. And the Lord asked the question so that change could begin. The fact of the matter is as you read the book of Genesis, you find something. As you read through the Word of God, you find this common thought about our God. Our God speaks in declarative sentences because he is the sum and source of all wisdom. Let there be light. He wasn't asking permission from light to say, do you feel like being created today? Okay. Let there be light. Let the waters come forth. When God speaks, it's very, very, very clear. Our God is a declarative God. There's really no argument because our God has no rival. What we have to do oftentimes is this, is we have to process what we hear from the Word of God and kick up the baggage in our minds and the lies and the preconceived notions that we do have, but let God be true and every man a liar. And my desire as a pastor is to always bring forth the truth, and I trust you don't see the personality, but I trust more importantly that you are fixated upon the principles of the Word of God. Because personalities can make you believe just about everything. But principles are something you can build your life upon, and they are the firm foundation for our existence. I have found in my life, and perhaps you found the same thing, that we spend a lot of time asking God questions, but when was the last time that we listened as the Lord asked us a question? You see, relationships are a two-way street. And what I like to do, and I'm sure you experience this too in your everyday life and your walk with the Lord, is I like to get quiet. I like to do that on my Saturday to prepare for the message. I come early to the church on Sunday to quiet my heart. I want to get quiet before the Lord. You know, he's got vetoed power to change the message or add something or subtract something. But oftentimes when we get quiet before the Lord begins to speak to our heart. And he begins to communicate with us because God desires to communicate with us. And I'm trying to learn that God gave me two big ears for a reason and one mouth. And I try to keep the big mouth quiet and the big ears open. And I'm working on that as a person. But allowing God to ask us questions. Now think about this. What a question that he asked Adam in verse 9. Adam, where art thou? And as I was meditating on that, I thought about this very thought here, and it's this. Why does God ask questions? Think about it for a second. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere at one time. Why does God ask questions? Why did he ask man the question? Why didn't he just make that another declarative statement, say, Adam, come forth. Or Adam, quit hiding. Or Adam, I know what you've done. It's time to face the consequences of your actions. Why does God ask questions? I think one of the reasons is this. The Lord wants mankind to see their need and to see God as the answer to that need. I'm going to say this, and it is so clear to me from the Word of God. Whatever need you have in your life, it is answered by God. I counsel young people, all I got to do is just get married. No, what you need is a solid relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you're going to appreciate that spouse in the future. All I need is to be the perfect parent. No, all you need is God. And if you've got a good relationship with God, then you're going to recognize that you are taken care of by a very effective parent, and then you in turn are going to be a great parent. You say, all we need in this world is politicians that are sensible. Now, I'll agree with you there, okay? And they are quite lacking. We are so divided. You know, all we need is the Prince of Peace.
because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And can you imagine a government that followed the principles of Jesus Christ? There'd be peace on earth and enough to go around for everybody. There truly would be. But there isn't. And what we have in the Word of God is we've got questions that God asks. And I want to delve into this question. So let's look closer at this first question that is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, and let's break it down. In verse 9, he says this once again, "And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou?" Now here's the truth about this question. We see firstly here a tinge of sadness. A tinge of sadness. You say, where are you getting that from? Look at what he says there in verse 9, how he looks at the question. He says, "Adam, where art thou?" He speaks as the creator to his creation, and he says to this one that was formed from dirt, "Where are you at?" All of us are in relationships. We understand how they're formed. To a certain degree, we understand how they are kept, how they are fostered and developed. Many of us that are married, we remember where we met our spouse and the circumstances surrounding that. For us guys, please give me the courage to talk without the frog in my throat. Okay? I remember proposing. You know, that rock felt heavy. More heavy than it actually was. Okay? Remember the first time Josiah began to talk in our home? You know, and the first word of the children has always been, "Dada." Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'll selfishly acknowledge that. Relationships. First name basis relationship. Adam.
Creator God calling out to his creation. There's a tinge of sadness in this very thought because God created man. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And I don't want to minimize this because this is important. God's first question. The Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
Almighty God, in this creative process, stooped down in the dirt, this red clay, and he began to make something. And he made the form of a man. And the scripture says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Can I encourage you with this very thought? You are here because God wanted you here. God made you, and God made me. And he breathed into his life the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now I got to think about this from an imaginative standpoint. What happened? Okay, we just read that, well, he breathed into his life, man became a living soul, and they just went on their journey together. No, I've watched my children as they've entered this world. And babies, and I thought, wow, that one's bald. You look like daddy, okay? That one's got lots of hair. You're pretty like mama. That one's got all of dad's looks. Poor child. Hopefully they'll grow out of that. That one has all of mama's looks. I hope that she continues in that. Praise the Lord. Okay? What happened? Who are you? I'm God. Who am I? Adam. I think I'll worship you. I think that's a good idea. Okay. We don't see these things oftentimes. He created him. He made him. He gave him life. As he calls out to this man, this is a man who he created. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, what the Word of God tells us here. And this is evidence of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says in verse 26. "And God said, Let us," the Trinity, "make man in our image, after our likeness." This man had the likeness of Almighty God. Why do you think the devil came in and attacked so quickly? Verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." We struggle with our image so often.
Man, I wish I didn't have this crooked nose. You're a teenager. I wish I didn't have this mountain called a pimple. I wish I had this look or that look. God made you and God made me. And we need to be thankful for that very fact. God made this man, and it was a sad question because God is calling out to his creation and asking him, where is he at? It's also sad because of this very fact that God completed the man. Look at Genesis chapter 2, and I draw your attention to verse 20. God breathed into this man's nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. But Genesis 2 verse 20 gives some insight into Adam and God in their daily interaction. And the word of God says this: and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air. God allowed this man to have dominion. You name the animals. You take part in being a husbandman of this garden. You dress it. You keep it. You've got this responsibility. But in verse 20 it says, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. He looked at all of God's creation and he had a part in naming it and taking care of it. But as he looked, he didn't find anybody that was just like him. And there was a loneliness that came into this man's life. He had a relationship with God, but it's like he was missing something in his life. And the word of God says this in verse 21 of Genesis 2. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from him, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. I believe this, God made man. He wakes up, wow. I believe that God made woman. He woke up and he said, whoa, man. Look at this. And I hope you're still infatuated with your spouse. There's a lot of times we're tempted to criticize and complain, but she's the one that completes you. There's a tinge of sadness here because not only did God create man, God completed man when he gave him woman. And we ought to celebrate biblical womanhood. There's nothing like a woman. I am thankful for women. Get around a bunch of stinky men for a while. You'll be thankful for a lady, I'll tell you that much. I've discovered that in my life. I love hanging out with the guys, but that stinky coffee breath and ugh, you know. But a woman walks in the room, wow. No doubt he said, woman. Someone just like me. Scripture doesn't record how often he thanked the Lord for her. Adam, where you at? Not only did he create man and complete man, he commissioned man. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and what the word of God says in verse 28. Adam, where are you at? The Bible says here in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. And over the fowl of the air, over every living thing. Brother Carl, that's why you like to get fish. God put that in you. And how many of you like eating that pickerel? I'm glad most of you didn't raise your hand. There's more for me. I'll take it. I appreciate that. God gave us that. Desire to have dominion. Ladies, God allowed us to have that. God commissioned this man. What a privilege to have life. To have love in your life. To have opportunity in your life. To have a purpose to your life. God gave that to this man. But in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, we find this, that God cautioned this man. You can't help but look at Genesis and just say, man, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful marriage. What a beautiful home. What a great opportunity. What a faithful God. What a perfect world. What happened? Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took his man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. That's liberty, folks. The devil wants us to focus on the one thing we cannot do, and we forget how much God allows us to do. He gives us all things freely to enjoy. Someone asked me recently, they said, Pastor, what do you want? Can I be honest with you, church family? You know what I want? I want to enjoy life.
I'm a man with burdens. I care for people. And there's many times I wish I could just shut them off. One of the reasons I just wanted to come here was so that I could unplug from so much and plug in here and be a family man and grow with a church family. These are my growing years, I believe, as a man, because I recognize the importance of that woman in my life and my children, and I'm trying to learn. I'm a man, I can change, and if she makes me, I will. Okay? I see the need for it. But God said, there's one tree, I don't want you to partake of it. And if you do, you'll die. A tinge of sadness in this question, Adam. Where are you at?
Someone said this, the saddest thing in life is wasted talent, and the choices you make will shape your life forever. Many people criticize Adam, but I don't think I can. I'll tell you why. I love my wife. It's more important to us men as we get older. I've already confessed to the church how I went from a hunk to a chunk. I recognize that. I'd like to get back to hunk. The odds are against me. Okay?
And I look at men out here and I thought, you too will come here. It too shall pass. You'll join the rest of the ranks here. And hopefully you don't. By reason of strength, maybe you won't. I love my wife. He loved his wife. And we would be liars if we didn't say it was a tough choice. Let's be honest. We can't see God, can we? But he looked at her every day. And he looked at her as she partook of that fruit. He had a choice to make. My creator or the creation. And oftentimes, what do? We choose the creation. We do. I do. I'll be honest with you. I'll be transparent and real. A tinge of sadness. Beautiful story. Loving God. Made man. He didn't need man, but he made man for the express purpose of worship and glorifying him. He put him in the perfect place, gave him a career he was tailor-made for, gave him a helpmeet that perfected him, gave him so much responsibility. And now Adam finds himself hiding from his God. You see, I don't feel sorry for us in this situation. I feel sorry for God. And I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip, but I think of myself. And all that God has given me and how ungrateful I usually am. How critical I can be about things. This tinge of sadness in this question. We see a second thing as we move on here. We see a tone of seriousness. Genesis chapter 3 in the Word of God, we see this question. Once again, that God poses to man. Adam, where art thou? He asked the man that he created, and he asked the man that he completed, and the man that he had commissioned, and the man that he cautioned. Where are you at? And can I ask the question, where are you at today? Where are you at? It's a serious question. And the tone is serious. Adam, where art thou? Say, why did God ask it that way? And that's a good question to ask.
He asks it this way because there was a missed meeting. Look at what happens here in the Word of God, what the Bible tells us here. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Very descriptive. What time? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. There was a missed meeting. The voice of God walked in the cool of the day and called out to man, where are you at, Adam?
I believe that signifies that they met at a specific time every day to discuss life and the issues of life and God's creation. And I believe there was a time of devotion and a time of discipleship. that would meet daily and discuss things. I don't always do that. And I'm a pastor. There are times I miss my meeting with the Lord. I think a very practical lesson we learn here is that we should all have a meeting time where we meet with the Lord. And I don't say that to make anybody feel guilty. But I think it's showing respect to our Creator to say, thank you for creating me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for this person you've brought into life, the blessings you've given unto me. There was a missed meeting. Adam wasn't where he usually was. And that concerned the Lord. And by the way, I believe it concerns the Lord when we do not meet with him. Now think about it for a second. And I don't mean this to come across the way it is. I just don't know how else to phrase it. What gives us the right to miss that meeting? Think about that for a second. Folks, I'm seeing what God is doing here. But I don't want to miss out on what else he has to do, but I need to meet with the Lord or I'm not going to be what I need to be for people. It was a missed meeting. Listen, I want to encourage you right where you're at. You say, preacher, I'm horrible at reading the Bible and I'm horrible at praying and I'm horrible in relationships. Listen, I've had to overcome all of that baggage and all of that garbage, and thank God for grace. And I want to tell you, it's okay to be real in this church. I'm glad that people are starting to actually act real. You know what I've seen in this church? I've seen men say, hey, I'm not just going to get dressed up because so-and-so expects it. I'd rather have somebody be real than somebody fake it. Wouldn't you? Be who you are. Grow from where you're at. That's what the Lord wants. Christianity begins on the inside and it manifests itself on the outside, but we've raised a generation where we all want them to look the right way, but they're void and destitute on the inside. And what does that benefit anybody?
It doesn't benefit anybody. It was a missed meeting that led to a miserable mess. Look at what the Bible says in verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Hiding. Hiding from his best friend. Hiding from his Creator. And we'll delve deep into this in just a second, but oh, I've spent many times hiding from the Lord. And so have you. And it's not time to poke fingers at people. I hate that garbage. All of us here have warts. All of us here have struggles. And it's about time we stop pointing fingers. And I get sick of it. You want to point out the warts? Pick on the pastor, please. I got lots, okay? I'm overly transparent by design, okay? To the annoyance of my family. But what you see is what you get. Said, how real are you? I like to wear pajamas all the time if I can get away with it. I'm just being honest with you. You know that you're pretty close to me if you come over and I got messy hair and pajamas and a cell phone on my ear. I try to get to the office. Stop laughing, Pete. You probably bought me the pajamas, okay? Okay. You know, and sometimes I'll feel guilty about it. I'm just going to be really honest and real. Carl was my friend. Remember the first time they came over and I think they rang the doorbell and I was watching something on YouTube. I later on came on downstairs. It's interesting how you can watch a thing about cowboys and all of a sudden, wow, 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 wow. There's some country music blaring down there. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Carl's thinking I'm having a party. Oh man, what's going to happen? Amber, and she goes, you can't control what YouTube does. I said, I know, but I want to have a testimony. And you get worried about stupid stuff like that. You know what? Sometimes your pastor, man, I'm up till 4 a.m. talking to people. I don't get up till 11. I roll out of bed. I got messy hair. And first thing I grab is a coffee. Oh, who needs help today? I spend my time with the Lord. You know, there's been days I've never got out of my pajamas. I got up at 11. I got the pajamas on. And the next day at 7, the pajamas are there again. Ministry is a crazy thing, huh? Someone once said, if it weren't for people, the ministry would be great. Think about it. Without people, there's no ministry. Miserable mess. they're hiding. You can be yourself. You can be yourself. You know, after I bare my soul and do this, I don't always like to be around people. I feel vulnerable and exposed. Think about this. You get come to church every day and you have to publicly address people. Bare your soul, and this is what God says. It's really not healthy. You're going to be, hey, great pastor, or what a jerk. Really think about it. And then people are going to go home and, you know, after I ate this roast beef, he still is a jerk. It's really not healthy for an individual. You're praised. Oh, the great pastor Lakeside. Man, did we vote this guy in, really? Like, who? Did we slip and bang our head on a rock, or what in the world were we thinking? There's no, like, yeah, it's all right. We hide so often, and they did. You see the mumbling message. Look at what he says in verse 10, Adam. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Such a mess. We don't know how to communicate with God. What do you say when you blow it? The biggest challenge that I face in ministry is not leading people to the Lord. It's not dealing with those that are backslidden. It's helping Christians recover after they blow it. There's forgiveness every time. Can I say it again? There's forgiveness every time. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If there wasn't, I wouldn't be married. If there wasn't, my kids would be on strike right now. But how do we talk to God when we blow it? What a miserable mess. That's why God said, Adam, where art thou? And wrapping all of this up, this great first question of the Lord, where are we at? Are we meeting with God? Do we have messy life situations? Are we afraid to talk to him? He's the solution, and we see this lastly here. Adam, where art thou? The first question God asks. What does he want to reveal to us? Why was this failing recorded for us today? Because we see a truth about salvation. And it's powerful. Look at what he says here in verse 9, and this is really powerful here. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Did he address Eve? Help me. Why not? Why not? God just likes to pick on guys all the time. New doctrine. Okay. Who did he give the command to? Personal accountability. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. But why don't you talk to Brother Pat, oh Lord? It's a better option, or Carl, or who else? Jackson? Yeah, Jackson. Perfect mustache. Pick on him. Or Tracy, the woman that birthed that boy. Pick on her. Yeah, pick on her. Mrs. T, pick on her today. Or Daniel, perfect beard. Get sick and tired of it. Carl's got sharp spears for getting fish. Pick on him. Kim, she puts up with that stuff. Pick on her. We get that way. Pick on Jim. He's always smiling. Accountability. You eat of this tree, you're going to die. Acknowledgement. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Why are you hiding, Adam? I blew it. I just feel so guilty. That's probably the biggest counseling I do as a pastor, is helping people overcome guilt. I'm going to tell you something. You blew it, so what? And it's just so overwhelming. Plagues, and it manifests itself. People begin to attack other people. Why? They feel guilty all the time. So they want to make somebody else beneath them so they don't feel as bad. That's what guilt does. Then we see their aprons. Look at verse 7. And the eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked, and they sewed leaves together and made themselves aprons. We've got to cover this up somehow. We acknowledge this. Whoa. We're naked. We've blown it. I've sinned. I got to cover it up. What does that lead to? It leads to avoidance. Look at verse 8. They hear the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Why would you have to do that, being the creation of God? Adam, where are you at? I'm just playing peekaboo, God. A lot of people playing peekaboo. Oh, you know what he wanted? Just run to me. He knows it. Newsflash. He sees it. He sees it. I lived with my aunt or aunt, however you want to say it, for a period of time. She made this awesome pineapple cheesecake. And I was only supposed to take a piece and share a piece with my brother. I took a piece, all right. And then I had my brother's piece. Then I recognized what I had done. So what I did was I turned the pan around and put stuff on top of it. And it looked like a nice full pan. Man, I'm telling you something. Appearances are so deceiving. We want to hide things. My children get into an argument. What's going on? It was my sister. What did she do? I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Ask another question. God wanted Adam to run to him. Oh, let me give you some hope. Run to him where you're at. God, I'm socially awkward. I already know. God, I'm married to a woman and I don't know how to keep her. I figured that out already. God, I'm married to a guy and he always messes up the kitchen and I want to hit him with a frying pan. Go ahead and do it. There's forgiveness. No, he doesn't say that. We wrestle with those. I'm insecure on the job site. I'm in over my head. Come to me. But we tend to hide from him. You think about this thing for a second. These aprons and this avoidance, these avoidance issues and these arguments that come. They begin to blame one another. It's the woman you gave me. It's this snake you created. These things will never make us whole or provide justification. And here is the truth about salvation, and we're done. They needed to appropriate God's clothing. Look at what the Word of God says in verse 7, Genesis chapter 3, and we're done here. The Bible says in verse 7 that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Look at God's remedy. Genesis 3 and verse 21, what the Word of God says. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Where did they get it from? Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible talks about Cain and Abel and their offering. Verse 4. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. He brought a lamb. Revelation 13 verse 8 talks about the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. We can wear our coverings and have our cover-ups, and we can avoid people, and we can have conflicts because we don't deal with our issues, but all we simply got to do is appropriate God's clothing. What am I saying here? I'm saying this: God reached out to the man who had a problem, who was avoiding him, and he reached out to him being the solution, Adam. Clothing of a slain lamb. You say, man, I'm a sinner. Man, I know I deserve to go to hell. Here's the blood of Jesus Christ accepted. Accept what he's done for you. And he'll save you. And you won't have to hide from God anymore. And you won't have to worry about conflicts in your relationships because he'll give you the grace. And you won't have to feel like you're so guilty all the time, because you know what he'll do is he'll take away that guilt and that shame, and you can live with the righteousness of Christ. And what a question. Where are you at? I think Adam would respond if he had a do-over. God, I'm in sin. God, I'm experiencing sorrow, and I feel so separated from you. I'm so ashamed. But God, I recognize that you are my solution, and I accept your offer of salvation. Now, what about us? As children of Adam. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, Adam sinned. That's why the scripture talks about in Genesis about the seed of the woman.
the virgin-born Son of God, Jesus Christ, dying for Adam's fallen race. And if all we'd simply do is say, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I've got sorrow. I'm so separated from you, but I accept your free gift of salvation. He'll save you. That's the perfect answer to the question that God asks. You say, but preacher, I'm a Christian. Okay. Why are you hiding? Go to him. He already sees you. He knows where you're at. Respond to him and say, Lord, help me. I'm struggling. I'm ashamed. I feel so guilty. I feel so insecure. And he'll tell you, your security is in me. That's the perfect response to God's first question. Let's all stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed. I appreciate your attentiveness to the Word of God. We give an invitation after the services because it's an opportunity to respond to what the Lord has spoken to you about. Let's be sensitive one to another as people make decisions. Let's not look down on people. If someone wants to slip out of their pew there, their chair, to come to an altar, let them do that. Let me encourage you to do business with the Lord. And why don't we take the opportunity to do that right now? We don't need the piano for that. God is saying, where are you at? Just tell him where you're at. The next question is, do you want to stay there? You don't have to. You don't have to. Run to him. Say, oh, preacher, I'm hurting. You don't know the hurt. I don't have to know the hurt. He can heal the hurt. Say, oh, preacher, I failed. Tell him that. He can help you. I'm glad that our God recovers. I'm glad that our God restores. I'm glad that our God replaces things. Christians, your brothers and sisters are doing business with the Lord. If it's good with you, pray for others at this time. Just the opportunity to respond to the Lord. What a question. Where are you at? Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. If that's you, would you just be honest and real and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not going to call out your name. I'll just pray. I've been there. Is anybody like that? Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Can you pray for me? I'll pray for you. It's okay. Thank you for being honest. Is there anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. It's okay. I'll pray for you too. Maybe somebody here, pastor, I'm hurting. You don't know the level of it, but I'm hurting. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to call out your name. I'll pray for you. It's okay. It's okay to be real with the Lord. Father, I ask that you would help. Lord, I cannot save a soul, but you are so willing to. If they would just cry out to you, and I pray that they would, give grace. It's awkward in a setting like this, but Lord, if they're too nervous to do that, I pray that they would go to somebody and say, I need to be saved. Pray for those that are hurting. Lord, would you help them? Lord, there's healing in your wings. You say that. You provide a balm. You talk about the Holy Spirit ministering. And I pray that you would do just that. And Lord, thank you for the Word of God that we have, the hope that we have to offer people. And I pray your people would leave here, Lord, feeling that sense of hope that you love us, that you are the answer to our questions. Lord, the questions that you ask are for our benefit. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. Thank you for these decisions that have been made. And I pray, Lord, that you watch over us, Lord, as we leave this place. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're dismissed. I want to encourage you tonight to...